little bit of a stand if it helps.
I thought I will try this out, the whiteboard, so that if it works, we will do it more often. Otherwise, we will forget about this from this time onwards. Because the reason the board I chose was this parable was spread across three different books, Mark, Luke, and Matthew. So it is a repetition, but with always repetition, there is something added in each of the book. So for those nuances, we have to have some visual display. And then I chose different colors for different books. Now, what is the parable? That's the big question. Parable is a hidden truth. It is always hidden truth in terms of Bible, in terms of scriptures. The parables are used throughout the history of man by different cultures, Romans, Greeks, and Eastern cultures. Everybody have these parables. They're used to explain a concept subject through the known phenomenon. So you have a known thing like a farmer or agricultural communities. Everybody knows what is sowing, what the how it grows, and how it bears fruit again. So the familiar theme is taken, and an attempt is made to explain a thing that is not familiar to you, which is foreign to you. So that is basic, the parable. So I want to discuss some of the popular definitions. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So it is very popular among Bible students across different denominations. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This is my explanation. A physical phenomenon explaining a spiritual process. It's a physical phenomenon explaining a spiritual process. It is also a window of understanding to address a spiritual matter. The whole parable is a window of opportunity to understand a spiritual matter. And in this particular context, the parable, it is one of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God itself is a mystery. Mystery means secret. It is not easily understood. It's not open. It is hidden, concealed by God. So when Jesus Christ gave us explanations about the kingdom, he unlocked the mysteries so that we get a glimpse of what this kingdom that he is talking about, and what is the good news about that kingdom he always started with. And also, the parable needs spiritual discernment. It, because it's not easily understood. For example, there is a verse called, natural man does not understand things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. You need spiritual discernment with the Holy Spirit or God's Spirit, either helping you externally or residing in you. Both ways, the discernment is given and you begin to understand. So the parable causes a separation between those who understand and those who fail to understand. So it causes a separation. And that is intended, one of the intended purposes, to use parables according to Jesus Christ. And here the title goes like parable of sower, seeds, soils, and I want to add fruit. So there are four things: sower, seeds, soils, and fruit. So the physical phenomenon is seed is taken and put it in soil and it grows and bears fruit. The spiritual parallel for this is the seed is word of God and that is sown in the heart of men and women. And heart is equal to the soil or dirt, and then the seed grows into a plant or a tree and then bears fruit. And I think how much familiar are you if you're basically familiar with the word, with the parable, then we can skip the more comments. Okay. So let's quickly build the parable from the three accounts. Let us pick up from Mark 4. I use black color for the mark because Mark gives more details than other two accounts, Matthew and Luke. So we just go through the verses 3 to 9. Hearken, hearken is pay attention. Hear, pay ear. So hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Here, the sower primarily Jesus Christ, but it could be anybody used by him, any human instrument, a man or a woman, can sow God's word. Actually, as we go through the parable, who is sowing is not important. It's, and what is sown is also not discussed in detail. But after that, what happens is of paramount importance in this parable. So verse 3, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. So here you can imagine the sower as a farmer. He would go through his field, right? He has a basin of seed. So he typically scatters, right? And they have a field in the Middle East. And on the sides of the fields, there is a way, there's a path where everybody would walk. Obviously, you don't want to walk in the middle of the field to destroy the crop. So there is a trodden way. And then not the whole field is very fertile soil. There are patches of rock, mixture of rock. So as he is scattering the seed fell on four different types of soil, different types of ground. The first is wayside. So when men walk on the wayside, they fell. And the second category is stony ground, where there is a stone plus some soil. And then the third category is thorns. There are also thorns and certain patches of the field. And then rest of it is good ground. So let's move forward with the okay. I'm starting again from verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root in it, and it withered away. And some fell among thorns. Thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. And the others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some hundred, and he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. So this is my four categories. First is the wayside and the stony ground and thorny ground and good ground. They are all grounds. And the wayside, when the seeds fall on this way, the soil is very hard because people were walking there, it is compressed. And then there is very little chance for the seed to take root in that such ground and begin to grow. And even if it is attempted to do that, because it is a way, men would naturally walk and there is a trample on that, so there is no or little chance. But imagine the birds when the seed is openly available, that is food for the birds. They come and pick that up. So that's what he is saying. The wayside, they come and they fall, and the birds of the air devour. And on the stony ground, there is not much earth. Here the word stony ground is not a right translation. It is not all stone. There is a stone underneath it, but it's a thin layer of soil. A thin layer of soil, so that there is some chances for the seed to take root and grow, but it can't take a deeper root because underneath is the stone. And it immediately sprang up, and no depth of earth. And then sun came up, and it got scorched because it has no root, and it withered. And thorny ground, thorns also grew up with this, whatever seed is growing, and thorns overtook this, and seed has no chance to bear fruit. And the good ground is where the seeds fell, and they sprang up and increased, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And then it's a difficult parable, and disciples were all confused, and they asked him, explain this verse. And then he replies, haven't you understood this one? How can you understand other parables? Implying this is the key parable. It is the beginning parable. If you want to understand other parables, you have to understand this one. And also, this parable is so important that it is repeated three times in three books. And also, there are other parables. He just gave the parable, never gave explanation. For this one, he gave explanation, not in just one book, all the three books. He gave explanation, he repeated it twice, and he also said, it is important. It is important that you get this for you to understand other parables. So let's see the explanation here. I have put the physical here on the left-hand side, and his explanation here, so that we match it. And when he was alone, this is Mark 4, continuing from verse 10 up to verse 20. And when he was alone, they that were about him with 12, that is 12 disciples, asked him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are outside, all things are come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear, not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And then he said, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all the parables? Here he says, if you don't know, how will you know all other parables? Then he begins to explain this meaning here. The sower sows the word. So here it is, the word. The word is sown. And these are they, he's explaining one type of soil. These are they by the wayside, that is the first category, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So here he's explaining the words divided here, and here he says Satan takes away immediately. And these are likewise, he's going to the second category, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, so endure for a time. So the second category, they receive immediately with gladness, but they endure only for a time because they have no root in themselves. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, they are offended. So the affliction or persecution arises. Here, the sun scorches. So the sun intensifying its sunlight and scorching men and women is equivalent to the afflictions and persecutions. This concept is actually carried out in other parables and in other books. In Book of Revelation, the sun would scorch men. And in another parable, men were complaining that they labored in sun all the day, and then they happened to receive same wage as people who joined in the last hour. So there's more symbology being addressed here. And he's going to the third category. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Here the thorns and briars, he's equating them to the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and lust for other things. He doesn't tell what those other things. It's pretty open-ended. So those would choke the word and fails you from producing fruit. And the last category, verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. So here he is adding, say, some 30, some 60, some 100. They hear the word, receive it, and bring forth. That is the fourth category. So the seed is growing and bearing fruit the same way the word of God is bearing fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. So there is difference there. Now let us fill the other two accounts. Not much is given, but here a little, there a little is added. Going to Luke 8 chapter, verses 5 to 8. A sower went out to sow his seed, same as here. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. The word trodden down is added here. It was not there in the first Mark account. And the fowls are birds of the air devoured. And some fell upon a rock, that is second category. As soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. See, moisture is not there in the first account. It lacked moisture. I have put it in red. And then also, he says it falls on a rock. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it and choked it. It's the same, nothing is added. And verse 8, others fell on good ground and sprang up, bore fruit a hundredfold. He mentions only 100 here in the bread. He doesn't mention 60 and 30. And then he completes the parable. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's go to the explanation in Luke, if we can find anything added here. The reason I'm doing this here is that we all get familiar how to study when the account is repeated in different books. We should take time. We should take a whiteboard. If it's not whiteboard, take a blackboard or a notebook. But this exercise must be done in order to understand it. So Luke 8, continuing from verse 11 to 15. Now the parable is this. The seed is word of God. It is very clear, the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that hear, that then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So here he says Satan, but he says devil. So Satan and devil, you know, same. Takes away the word from the heart. From the hearts of men and women, and so that means what is the intent of devil? To prevent you from believing and being saved. So that, in other words, salvation. So if you don't have word, you have no chance for salvation. So if devil doesn't want you to get salvation, what is one of the ways he can try? You would not get the word. You would just take it away. This is a scary word. And continuing, they on the rock, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, in time of temptation fall away. He uses the word temptation. Temptation, and he uses the word fall away, falling away. Sounds familiar? Thessalonians, you would fall away. And then finally, he talks about the third category, and that which, verse 14, that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. So it has different nuance here. It has cares, riches, and pleasures. He adds to the list. He also mentions riches in a different way, deceitfulness of riches. Here he just mentions riches. But he adds pleasures. And he also adds one interesting thing. The fruit, not only just bearing the fruit, bring the fruit to perfection. The fruit to perfection. So that is not happening because of thorns, because of the desires for other things. And then the final category. Verse 8, but the other fell on good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay. Let's quickly go to the other account, the third account, that is Matthew 13. Matthew 13, starting from verse 18. Matthew 13, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, now he is saying the word is not just word of God, but word of kingdom, and understands it not, so the person fails to understand. Then comes the wicked one. Now, he uses different words. Explanation. Let us quickly go through the problem statement. Sorry about that. Matthew 13, verse 3. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls, or the birds, came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth. Here he says, they don't have much earth on the stony places. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, brought forth some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I don't see much added here on the Matthew account of the problem statement, but here the explanation. Now let's go to verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and snatcheth away which was sown in his heart. And this is he, is moving on to, this is he which received the seed by wayside. So that is the first category. But he that is received into the stony place, that is second category, the same is he that hears the word and with joy receives it. Yet he has no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Tribulation or persecution. He adds tribulation here. And then verse 22, he also received the seed among thorns. He is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and become unfruitful. So he's saying unfruitful. I have just added this in a different color. But he that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, and also bears fruit, brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. He reverses the order for some reason, but pretty much same, 30, 60, 100. So this is the high level, the four categories, and we were given the problem statement and the explanation. And now let's go and comment what is happening. If we see, there are four categories, 1, 2, 3. First three categories are bad, and the fourth is good category. But here is sowing the scattering or sowing the seed. And if you look at these categories, it appears as though the people in this category have no choice. I mean, you are on the wayside and you are trodden down, and it is not your fault. And then you don't bear fruit. And same argument can be made here that I don't have much earth in me. Everything is stone underneath me, so it's not my fault. And here also, there are thorns which grow and choke me out. So it's not my fault. As you go through this, it appears as though in the first time you are studying, it's not their fault. until you come here, this is very important. That means God wants you to study all the four categories towards the end of the parable. Here, if you see, they hear the word and receive it, bring forth fruit. And also, there is an important verse added in Luke. They receive with honest, good heart, and hear it, and keep it, and by patience, bear fruit. So, it is not something that is automatically happening to them. If you go by this rule of no responsibility, that doesn't work here. That they are not just happen to be on the good ground. They made themselves to be good ground. They heard the word, all of it, and they received it. And with what attitude? Honesty. You need brutal honesty when it comes to word of God. You should not let anybody tell you that this is not important. Every word of Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry is super important for new covenant. So with noble heart and good heart they receive, and not only hearing, they keep it, they internalize it, they treasure his words in them, and then they also bear fruit with patience. And also they understand it. You see, he adds it in Matthew. They understand it. So if you say the first category, they don't understand. They fail to understand. Here, when people fail to understand, there could be lack of intellect, your IQ is low, or the other possibilities are there that you fail to understand the word of God. But he's not addressing that issue at all here. He's addressing an issue of your response to his word. I mean, we have to properly understand the whole thing. So the word is sown, and what you do with the word. Remember last time we discussed about the sap. 1 gallon of sap leads to 1 basket of fruit. Between the sap and the fruit, there are several things, several hurdles preventing you from bearing fruit. So that is John 15, where we address the vine and branches. The branches bear fruit because of the sap they receive from vine. But those of you who are not there last time, you can probably hear that on the tape or the CD. But this is a continuation. And here you can see he is also establishing the symbology here. Let's go one by one what he is doing. The wayside, they don't understand it. When they don't understand it, the devil comes and takes away the word. And Satan comes and takes away the word. And word is sown in the hearts. So what does this tell? The devil has access into your heart, and he can take away the word of God. And here, the birds devour the seed, whatever is thrown on the wayside. And also, the seed is trodden down. So here, he is establishing symbology that birds of air are actually demon spirits. There's a huge symbology he's establishing. Whenever he says birds of the air, they are demon spirits. And we can understand that more when we go to Revelation and other parables. And here, there is a time element between these categories. What happens here, the word immediately, if you notice this, the things go bad immediately because they fail to understand. And then immediately Satan takes away the word from the heart so that you don't bear fruit. So this category bears zero fruit. And second category, where you have thin layer of soil, what happens, what is the time element here? They immediately receive, but they stay for a while, for some time. Endure for a time, the third line. They endure for a time. Compared to the first category, they last for a little bit longer, holding the word of God. But they don't have root in themselves. What does it mean? If word of God is not taking root, it is not because you are innocent. It is because you are not letting the word take root in yourselves. So that means you have to work so that the word sinks in. When it sinks in, makes deeper root in you, that means internalize the word of God, then you are not quickly shaken. The word of God stays in you, firmly takes root in you. But if you take only small portion of word, or you take the word but retain it only on head, it is not sinking down into your deep into your heart, then you think this is the only word that we have to deal with, and you are super excited and you think that is easy because it looks easy, because you have not considered the whole cost of being a Christian, and you are super excited and you are joyful and tell everybody, and you appear to be making much more progress than everybody else. But when the offenses, afflictions, and persecutions, the list goes on, you don't stand it. You did not expect it, because you haven't studied the word of God, which word of God tells there would be persecution, there would be rejection, there would not be praise of men as you used to get once you are in truth. In fact, people actually hate you for being truthful. Even though being truthful is kind of admired, kind of elevated as a high moral thing, but practically it's the hate, because they don't have that truthfulness within them, and they see that you are truthful and they just can't put up with that. So then, if you are not expecting those things, if you have not counted the cost, then you don't bear fruit. So this category is immediate. This category stays for some time, endures for a time, but beyond that, they don't endure. They fall away. The third category, actually, they endure for a long time, almost equal to the fourth. But the thorns come up and choke the word. So if I am sown among thorns, the God's word is sown, and also these thorns are sown, people can argue, it's not my fault. No, it is your responsibility to ensure the thorns, briars, whatever things that are choking, should not choke you. So they did not take that responsibility to deviate their hearts, deviate their ground. So here the word says, takes to deep root. They understand the word also. They are so close here, see, the third category. But they let this cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and lusts for other things, and they don't bring any fruit or fruit to perfection. They have some fruit, but it is not matured, it is not perfected. It is not the quality which God expects you to bear. And remain, your fruit should remain. That's one of the important requirements according to John 15. And finally, is a good category where they bear fruit, they receive it. So there are like basic four things And any comment at this time before I add more things?
You know, some of the comments that other parables bring out, like the if your eye offends you, pluck it out. That kind of goes back to the thorns, that you're responsible to go back and...
I think very good point. Very good point. If your eye, right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut off your right hand. So you have to be brutal. And you know, like mercy, there is a way and time to show mercy. And there is a time to be brutal. So this is the time to be brutal and take away all the things that you can potentially show. A very good point. Thank you. Any other comment? Yes.
Well, you were talking about good fruit, but there are several circumstances that he's not pleased with just any fruit. He doesn't want just fruit. In other words, the fruit that doesn't develop good, he casts out. Like lukewarmness.
Yes.
So we need to take all these in mind to have the good fruit. And to Satan, he can take it away.
Yes.
Or you try to pull up, you have to try to pull up weeds that are real shallow, they're easy to pull up. But if they're deep rooted, they're hard to pull up.
That's very good. So point.
If you're deep rooted, Satan can't pull them up. He can't tear it out of easy.
That is when your calling comes, you already have lots of thorns. I hope everybody heard his comment. The thorns are already deep rooted. How do you pluck it out? It's not easy. It's very hard to pluck it out. Especially when they became an integral part of your heart and mind. The way you operate, the way you live, is all the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches and lust for other things. These are very easy, very easy. We are born with these things. So it's very hard. How do you pluck it out if it is so deep rooted? That is where the sap comes into picture. Going back, I want John 15 to be model chapter for the whole New Covenant discussion. The sap that comes from the vine is his word as well as his spirit. So word plus spirit. The spirit gives you the power to overcome, the power to pluck it out. The word gives you the direction, the knowledge. The word is light unto my path, lamp unto my feet. It tells you how to walk and where to walk. But your legs refuse to walk. The horse, you can bring it to the water, but you can't make it drink, right? Your own human nature refuses to drink the water. What do you do? What would you do? You are so helpless. Then you need power from God, that is through His Spirit. In fact, one of the beautiful features of New Covenant is when you do your good works, you demonstrate that they are wrought by the power of God. You are telling other people, other friends, relatives, whoever you are witnessing, you because you partake of the same sins, same crappy stuff with them. Now God called you, gave you His Spirit. And now you are able to practice righteousness. And they can see that. What is the difference between them and now? It is the power of God in you. So that's very important. Thank you for contributing. Any other comments before we go? Yes, Ben.
Part question and part comment. But when I think about this, you know, in a physical sower with seed, seed is very valuable. Mm-hmm. You go out in the field. They don't actually sow. You can hand broadcast seed without getting a lot of seed in the wayside. You can hand broadcast seed without getting a lot amongst thorns.
Yeah.
But that's, I think it, in a way, I see it as a way, like God's thinking, His way of doing things is different than what we think. He's going to he's going to put his seed out there where we think it won't grow, or, you know, in the way. He puts his seed out in the places where we would say, leave those people alone. You know?
Yeah, our human judgment.
Yeah, our own. Yeah.
They're not tally with God's judgment every time. Yeah. Most times, actually. Mm-hmm. Because our perception is limited, and we don't see the big picture. And who would have thought that Saul would come to truth and become Paul? Nobody thought, but God saw something. Yeah, very good point. Any question?
Well, just this, just basically how you see that in that parable. I just wondered if you see that as well in that parable, or if I'm going outside.
In fact, God is not limiting to one category. When he scatters seed, he's scattering on all categories. And actually, all four categories have equal probability, equal chance of bearing 100% fruit. It is what they do or they do not do that brings the difference. Even in the fourth category, we have difference. And then coming to one more layer of discussion, on the wayside, the seeds that we have another 10, 15 minutes, I guess?
Oh, yeah.
The wayside, when the wayside, we come to this side, discuss more in spiritual terms. When you make yourself to be on a spiritual highway, where men here walking on the way and their steps are trodding down, when they trod down both seed as well as soil, right? Preventing soil to grow. Here you are on a highway where the demon spirits, intense spiritual activity, would be trodding down the word of God that is sown in your heart, as well as they're trodding you down. Both are trodden down according to this verse. That means a repeated assault on you and the word of God, especially in the window of time when you are receiving the word of God. And then this assault prevents you from putting any time, any effort to understand the word. Understanding would not come automatically. You have to put efforts, time, diligence, that you would not be able to do. It's a repeated assault. As men walk on the way, this trodding down would take place. And then here the birds would come and pick up the seed. It would not quite happen on the spiritual side. Satan doesn't love the word of God, and by taking it away, he's not benefiting from it. As a bird would benefit from the seed in the physical realm, but the spiritual realm, in effect, same thing happens. In effect, he does not necessarily put his hand into your heart and grab it. By nature, you have this recycling that God has put in. When you hear the word, any word, not necessarily God's word, it stays in a temporary memory. It's called short-term memory, STM. It stays there 24 hours to maximum 48 hours. And if you don't revise what you just heard within that period, that is lost forever. If you revise it, then it sinks into another compartment called long-term memory that goes into your heart. So it's very important when you hear the word of God or study word of God, do a revision within 24 hours or at least within 48 hours if you're not able to do 28 hours. But if devil comes and keeps assaulting you in that period, it is pushed. That word is pushed. It is gone. In effect, devil has caused to take away the word from your heart and from your mind. It takes away so that you do not believe and be saved. So this is a spiritual assault. This could happen in any number of ways. It's a pretty wide open. He can bang you at a sin repeatedly. The same sin you are fighting and you are discouraged, you are filled with guilt, you are filled with negativism, and because of this assault, you would not put that problem to the side and let us see what God has to say. God's word says that you have this sin and other sins. God's word tells so many things. You never come to understand God's word if you are caught up in that one sin that is eating you away. It could be a habit. That habit draws you all your attention. Or some nagging friend, or a wife, or a husband, or a boss, or a co-worker. He keeps repeatedly assaulting you. So you are absorbed fully in responding to him or her. So you never have chance to actually put efforts and time to understand. That is the trick devil plays, a repeated assault, trodding you down, and trodding also the word down. So many possibilities. I just gave you a few examples because of the time limitation. Then we move to the second category. They do not have root in themselves. And this happens in the physical world also. For example, between the two concrete blocks, if there is a small soil is there, sometimes they spring up. They spring up much faster than rest of the plants. And sometimes they bear flower and maybe a small fruit. And then if you watch 3-4 days, or a week, they're gone. When the sun comes, they're scorched. Same thing happens. Here, the superficial understanding, they don't have depth. They're very glad, they're joyful, immediately receive with gladness, joy. But that itself is not wrong. That itself is not wrong. You receive the word, you're joyful, you're excited, you tell others, and you keep doing things and you grow and show much progress. But there is more important also that they fail to do. Let the word of God take a deep root in yourself. In yourself, I mean your heart. Your heart is like a deep well. It has depths to it. And it also has nooks and corners. To it, the heart, if you study everywhere the heart, the word heart appears, both in Old Testament and New Testament, it's an amazing thing. Actually, I wanted to cover that in Spiritual Anatomy of Man. We will cover it some other day. But you have to let the word affect you. So that they fail to do. They fail to count the cost. They fail to properly understand the word of God. It's a superficial understanding of the word of God. Maybe you're busy with what is that kitchen soup you organize for the poor people, and you're busy with that. Maybe that itself is not wrong, it is good, but devil can keep you busy with good things instead of bad things. And more important things are there according to God than just these good works. So that you would never come to do it. So, and also there's other parable, the depth of it. You are composed of different parts within your heart. Every part should be touched by the word of God. If word of God says no, that has to be turned into from darkness to light. There is a darkness-light concept. We will visit that. So there is there is inside, there is lots of rooms, same. Go with 100 rooms. And 100 rooms, all of them are darkness when you begin your Christian journey. As the word cleanses, it is also light. The word is light. Each part, each room should be turned from darkness to the light. When every room is light, then he says you are full of light. So there is more process within you the word of God should do. That they failed. And the third category is cares, thorns and briars. This thorns and briars is such a huge concept. It starts right in the Old Testament, and God uses it so much about the Israel, the thorns and briars. So here the cares of the world. The cares of the world. What is that? Any idea? Cares of the world. They choke the world. Cares of the world. Riches, pleasures of life. And deceitfulness of riches, lust for other things. Yeah.
On the deceitfulness of riches, tell you what, Elton Raines and Jay Quinlow and myself, some of the older group, I think we can vouch for it, that so many people have worked so hard for retirement, for a vacation, for money in the bank, and all, and then you see them die, and it's left. And a lot of times I've seen it left the grandchildren and have a lot of fun on it. Really. So there's nothing wrong with them having fun, but grandpa and grandma saved and saves, build it up. So all that has been deceitful. They look for something better from it. Now, there's nothing wrong with riches. Some people can use it well by helping others. But to have your cares in the riches, it's not so much riches, it's the deceitfulness of it. Hey, if I just had a lot of money, I'd have things my way. You heard that song, I, you know, had it my way. So, the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches hurts us quite a bit, but if we're deep-rooted, it won't pull us out so easy.
Yeah, very good point. I think most of us understand the riches versus the deceitfulness of riches. Riches themselves are not wrong, but there is deceitfulness associated with riches. And cares of this world and pleasures of this world. I mean, there are cares, there are genuine, normal, natural cares for your food, clothes, and shelter, right? And you need a car in America. And you have all these basic necessities that you do need, and you work for them. And but here, the word, cares of the world, W-O-R-L-D, world. There is an interesting concept attached to this word called world. The world is, the world, its priorities addressed and defined and put forth by devil. That is the world he is referring to. Not the entire physical world, not the entire universe that God created, but the world or the culture, the culture's civilization that is promoted by devil and maintained by devil so that people do not get salvation. So if you go to John defined the world as brethren, if anybody has love of the world, love of Father is not in him. It's a mutually exclusive thing. If you love the world and your love of Father is not in you, Your love for Father, as well as Father's love for you, you do not have in it. But then it defines the world, what the world is. All that is in the world is lust of eyes, lust of flesh, and pride of life. These are the three primary categories, primary movers the world operates on. Lust of eyes, your visuals, and lust of flesh, your appetites, your physical fleshly appetites. And then pride of life, your vanity. You want to be somebody. You don't want to be the ordinary among people. You just want to be somebody special. You want to be above others. And you want people to look up to you and look to you. And you don't want to be second person or third person or fourth person at all. The world operates, compels you to go this way. Go this way. And in order to meet these demands, whole energies, the cares of this world, they consume all your mental, physical, time, other resources. So you do not have time. Even though you understand, first two categories, they don't properly understand. Here they understand, but they serve God as well as mammon. So they get choked. They get strangled by devil. And they never bear fruit. Or they bear some fruit, but they don't bring the fruit to perfection. Here, if you see, fourth category, you have 30, 60, 100 categories of fruits. There is no 25. There is no 20. There is no 10 or 5. Perhaps these guys came to 25 and stopped if they got choked. And here, maybe 10. And here, no chance, zero. So, even though they have 25 and 10, still they ended up as zero. Why? God said, to him who has, more shall be given. To him who does not, even what he has will be taken away. He will directly take it away, or he would let devil come and take it away from you. So all first three categories end up with zero fruit, no salvation. And here also there is challenge. I mean, they understand it, they receive it, they are not like these guys. They push away devil. And here they understand, they count the cost and take the challenge. And they also put away weeds, pluck them out, and then they begin to bear fruit. While bearing fruit, still they can apply filters, they can apply measures. So some could make it up to 30, that's fine. Some could make 60, and some could make 100. That's why he says, the small as well as great in my kingdom. There are people who are small and people who are great. Just like in this world, there are great and there are small. So there are differences. Not everybody, like communists and socialists say, standing on one platform. That is not God's thing. You work hard, you get more reward. And if you are lazy, no. Are they lazy, perhaps, these three categories? I don't know. This category definitely is lazy because you don't need to put extra work to participate in the world or go with the deceitfulness of riches. You just go along with the flow. In order to pluck them out, you need to put extra efforts. And the deceitfulness of riches, I think you mentioned, many people have earned lots of money, I want to mention one more point before we go, the deceitfulness of riches. Riches, money, mammon, imitates God. Just like God can give you anything, whatever you need, theoretically, potentially, looking at the capacity, he can give you. If you want a Mercedes Benz, he can give you. He can give you whatever you want. How about money? Money also can give you. If you have $1 million, $100 million, you can also get Mercedes-Benz. You can also get a beautiful home. Whatever your carnal mind and heart desire, you could get it. So the money on one side and God on the other side. The money is a false god. It mimics God. Actually, it convinces you that you don't need God. I am here to deliver all your needs, all your goods. So there is a deceitfulness of riches. And also, it convinces you all your happiness, all your fulfillment, all your satisfaction, I can give you. That's what money says. But it is a false god. Only God can give you lasting satisfaction and endurance. So that is very high level. I just tried to scratch this. Maybe we can pick up something else next time. That's it. We're done. Any questions or comments? Yeah.
I was just thinking how, you know, those four categories can be related to, you know, the other parts of the Bible or life. If you start off with the first one, you might say, well, you know, pretty rocky terrain, not much soil, got cracks, like you mentioned, where a seed might take place, or a root. Well, if you consider time and history, all the way up through the flood, one man came out of the civilization before the flood to pass through to the new, and that could be, I mean, you might say that period of time was pretty rocky, pretty rough, and you got one little fruit. Okay, time went on, maybe conditions were better, where more fruit developed. And then the last one, where it looks like good earth, deep soil, fertilized, that may be the millennium.
Yeah, possible, but then we are taking away responsibility from people, right? That's one caution. But in millennium, devil would be gone. He would not be allowed to pluck away a word from your heart and mind. And then probably the rocky and thorns are also pretty much out. So all you have to do is you have to overcome your flesh, your nature. That way they have better probability of getting called then than being called now. Is that what you are?
Yeah, more or less.
But if you are called now, you would be part of better resurrection. First resurrection is a better resurrection than compared to second resurrection. That's what God says, not me. How it is better, I don't know. Fully understand. But our goal is to be in the first resurrection.
Those who survived the really rough terrain, and, you know, they've overcome a lot.
That is true. You overcome the devil and the culture, and also the whole it's all spiritual, actually. There's no physical in this. But there is also one verse, many are called, few are chosen, right? Many. Here, the seed is thrown on many. Only one-fourth produce fruit, right? If these categories were like 25%, 25%, 25%, if you equally distribute, then only 25% would make it. And out of 25%, if you make one-third, maybe 10% would make 100. Yes, yes. There is an attitude here. They received with honesty, with noble heart. King James uses noble for some reason. Most modern translations use honest heart. How many remember Bereans? You all know Bereans. Bereans?
Oh, Bereans. Oh.
Bereans. People from Berea.
Yeah, we Texas say Bereans.
Acts 17, 10 to 11. They received the word with a noble heart, with honest heart, and they studied every day and checked as Paul was teaching them if the things were so or not. And they were commended for doing that. The same word occurs, noble and honest, and with good heart, they hear, they keep, and with patience.
I think another point that comes into this, I've been studying about the Holy Spirit, and I've come across some scripture that never hit me before until recently, like the scripture that when Christ breathed on the disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. And it made me realize that there were a lot of people that were baptized, but they didn't receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, I know for a fact there's some people that I've been friends with and family members that never had the fruit. They went to church, they got baptized, but they got baptized for the wrong reason because their mother wanted them to or whoever. They had pressure of being baptized or whatever. But God knew they would never make it through. God knew that those first three things would be Satan fighting them. And until they have God's Holy Spirit in their heart, the Holy Spirit fights the battle. You want to. You fight to. You're not going to let something stand between you and the kingdom of God. There's the point. Seek first the kingdom of God. Until you have God's Holy Spirit, to seek first the kingdom of God. All those third things are God's. Traditions of men. I had friends that they wanted to keep Christmas, and because they were taught not to, they didn't. But as soon as something turned and said, now you can, because the Satan was saying, it's okay now, they went back to the things that they had turned from, because in their heart, that was truly what they wanted. Truly, they wanted to be part of their family on traditional holidays, on traditional things. You know, it's just like us, you know, we go to doctors. And we pursue our health. But there's a point there, we've got to be careful if those doctors become our gods. I mean, there is a lot of gods in this world that are not our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Father. And we have to remember, we're seeking first the kingdom of God. If this life is more important to us, we're being choked out by the thorns, we will never make it into the kingdom of God. Because we have God's Holy Spirit there to pursue and to be what the fourth category is. Putting God first in everything, cutting off the hand, cutting off the whatever.
Yes, this is our goal.
Yes.
And the point that you mentioned is about baptism. Baptism is water baptism, obviously.
Baptism of John, as I call it.
Yeah, baptism of John or water baptism. That has become like a wedding, like a social occasion where you invite friends and families, and as you come out of the baptismal waters, and people would hug you and welcome to the family, and the whole thing has become an initiation ceremony into your congregational group. But God says that water baptism is just an outward expression of your inner faith, of confessing. But there is another baptism, that I would baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. That makes the difference. The water baptism would not make any difference. In fact, there are cases in scriptures where you receive Holy Spirit first. That is, you are baptized with Holy Spirit first, and then Peter and other apostles, how can we deny water? Let us baptize them. So, you see the context, water baptism is mere ritual. It has little significance.
Well, but on the first two things, if you really understand when you're reading Matthew, all the book of Matthew, you think about all the times that people came and heard, but the seed was sown, but it never went into their heart. And maybe that's why, because when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, you know, there was a few that God gave the Holy Spirit prior to that. But that's when he really opened up after Christ died. He died for the sins of the world. The Holy Spirit is given freely to those that seek first God, that want, that have all those attributes.
Absolutely.
They have an open heart.
Absolutely. You're making a connection with the Word of God to the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. The just Word, you cannot do anything. You need Spirit in order to obey, in order to conquer your enemies. In fact, the word for Holy Spirit is Ruach in Hebrew and Pneuma in Greek. Both mean breath, air. All the words are produced by us, physical words, sound waves. Your breath is used to produce this sound. God has a number of possibilities to produce sound waves. He can put some diaphragm here, and then diaphragm can vibrate and produce the sounds. He could have infinite ways, but he chose to use your breath to produce the word. So there's a strong connection between spirit and the word. In the physical realm, same is in the spiritual realm. God's word and God's spirit go together. One complements other, and his spirit produces his word. Actually, all his words actually are spiritual. That's what he says. The words that I speak are spirit and life. That's what he thundered. Even the preachers don't want to teach that. So, yeah.
Well, in the last two categories, the thorny ground and the good ground, there's actually the verses below what you've already read when it talks about the thorns are with the good or with the fruit, the product, that Christ will pull them out. You know, he's going to separate them at his coming. It makes you understand that they have God's Holy Spirit. The third and the fourth both receive God's Holy Spirit. But how did the third category use it? They get caught up in the cares of the world. They cannot let go of prejudices or things that they love. They love more than God. So if you love something more than God, you're not going to be a part of the fourth category.
Yeah, I think you are referring to another parable, very similar, where God sows his seed, and devil also comes and sows his seed, and both grow together. At the end, they would be separated. Here, devil also sows, not in this parable. Devil only takes away what God has sown. But we would continue with the parable of tares and wheat, where devil also sows. And there is another parable of talents. We'll also do that. If parables interest you, we will do parables next whenever I come. And they're all interconnected. They're all connected. It comes back, revolve around New Covenant.
Because they're all connected to the fact that we live in Satan's world and God has all power. I mean, we're fighting against Satan daily. Moment by moment, sometimes we're fighting against Satan because even sometimes he influences what we're thinking or saying at a certain given time. So we have to fight against Satan constantly. You know, it's not once saved, always saved. That's the concept that our world believes. It's fighting salvation.
That's one of the deceptions.
Yeah, you're seeking salvation.
The false doctrines, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all my topics were requested by one among your group. So most of them, if something interests you, let Ben or Chad know. Then we would add to that list, and I would also gives me time to study that topic and then come and help you. I'm like a laborer, like labors. What Apostle Paul said, I just want to finish with this. This is 1 Corinthians 3:7. So then, neither is he that plants is anything, neither he that waters, but it is God who gives the increase. So who is teaching is like a neighbor who is planting the seed. God may use some person to plant the seed. God may use another person to water that. But he who sows or waters are nobody. It is God who gives the increase and blessing. He works underneath, behind the scenes, in the realm of spirit. So we are all brethren. Actually, he said, like, don't be called as rabbi. Rabbi. One of the paradoxes, have you thought about this paradox? Like, he contradicts himself in an apparent contradiction. And when people called him rabbi, he did not rebuke them. But he also said, do not be like Pharisees, so that you love the good places, in marketplaces and churches, congregations, and want to be called rabbi, rabbi. He sometimes not just, he does not refer to just the word, he refers to the underlying attitude. He says it as sin. So you want to be called rabbi, rabbi.
Yeah. Would that also apply to the command not to call anyone father? Because later on, you know, like Paul will say things, you know, like he'll call a congregation his children and refer to himself as fathering that congregation.
I think so. Because they're also tied together. Do not call anybody father on earth, for you have only one father in heaven. And do not call master anybody, because you have only one master, that is Jesus Christ. So he's not referring to the actual words that are used. He's referring to the whole spiritual move that is happening. That is sinful move that is nurtured by devil, so that you value something in addition to God the Father. You put another Messiah, another Christ, in addition to the true Christ. So don't call anybody. I think Rachel's father, he told me several times, I don't want anybody to call me Mr. Coulter. Because Mr. word comes from master in the old English days. So in a business meeting, somebody might call me Mr. Coulter, I'm okay. But among the brethren, I don't want to be called Mr. Coulter. Just call me Fred. I thought I would mention that point. Anything? Yes. Yes, go ahead.
No, just business. Would you leave that? And I want to take a picture of
sure.
The board.
Sure.
That's
fine. Yes, Jack.
I guess you can take analogies too far, but y'all were talking about how the, like in that first category of being in a rocky seed, sown in the rocky ground, and the possibility that seed could grow and produce good and fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a viable possibility? I mean, is that what you were saying? That it.
With superficial understanding, you could bear some fruit, but it would not endure. The problem is, your fruit does not remain, it would not endure when the heat of the sun scorches here. On the right-hand side, the tribulations, persecutions, afflictions, and you are offended. It's very important. You should not be offended. That is one of the things we are encouraged to do, especially when people insult you. Proverbs say, a prudent man ignores an insult. So we should not be caught up with the insult. But these guys, they don't injure for some reason. They are offended. Yeah.
Well, you're saying that, you know, there's not a lack of responsibility, right? I mean, they're not... Yes, you're saying that they still have a responsibility where that seed was sown?
they have responsibility because they position themselves to be in this shallow heart position. Your heart is shallow, like 10% as soil, 90% rock. So the words do not sink in. They just operate at a superficial level, where you manifest to others that you are very great and that you are growing faster than others, and maybe you're boasting a little bit, and maybe putting down others who are taking time, especially in these categories, but you would lose out. The first insult that comes to you, or the first lack of respect from your friends, just trips you off. You don't want to be in this truth. After all, you want to be a better person with respect to your friends and your family. Now it is going backwards to what you wanted, because all you wanted is lust of eyes, lust of flesh, and pride of life. So I'm exploring possibilities.
So if you're a person who is considered the rocky ground who can easily be withered, if, you know, we're speaking spiritually here,
yes,
if you're watered continually with, you know, crisis, you know, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again.
Maybe we can take offline.
Let's try and eat about, start services about 2:15.
Yeah.
And we will hopefully have time and won't be too late.
You want to speak then?
No. I mean, I'll talk to you. I think you said what I was thinking, but I do want to say we've got some Indian food. We've got three different main dishes and then a bunch of side things. But I think the butter chicken is mild. The other two, chicken biryani, vegetable korma, they call it medium, so it may be spicy for a lot of people.
Okay, I'll put the lemon rice and the butter chicken together, the first one, and those ones are spicy.
So the first two on the, when you come to, are the less spicy.